The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's fantastic, phenomenal, always fun, usually somewhat fascinating Friday as we head into the weekend, not being afraid even if the earth gives way or the mountains fall into the seas, because our help comes from the Lord. First, it is a tragedy that we can become, and sometimes do become, spiritually hard of hearing. There is no desire to belittle anyone, but some of us have heard a ton of truth. But the enemy tries to dull our hearing to minimize the power of the truth in our lives. We'll talk about that. Next, more than we care to admit, Christians can be too uppity. There's nothing wrong with being diligent, but there is something wrong with looking for the wrong. Relax and enjoy the ride, Francis. And finally, here is a wake-up call. Life is not fair, even if you're an apostle. That's right. On this planet, since the very, very beginning, not everyone was created the same. That would make us all robots or clones. But that's not how God created us. So buck up, little campers.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us at david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us 214-210-8483. Comes right here on the desk, right in front of me. No volume, though. That's why you can't call that number. Or you can call, here's the one you can call, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you do make that phone call, Terrific T will answer the phone, and that's just like wonderfulness. That's a good one. Wonderfulness. That's a long word. Anyway, yeah, that's not bad. All right, here's the bottom line. It can be for prayer requests, praise reports. It can be anything that's going on. You want to share about something the Lord's doing in your life. It can be Bible trivia. It can be anything along those lines, anything you want to comment on, as long as we're keeping it in an encouraging mode. Here is our trivia, Bible trivia question. Pretty straightforward. Should be an easy one for most people. What is the shortest psalm? What is the shortest psalm? If you think you know the answer, you can call in to 972-445-0770. That's the number you call, or you text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Let's not forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so the trivia question that's on the board, what is the shortest psalm? If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770 or text 214-210-8483. In the meantime, we're going to do a little DNA. So here's the thing I want you to remember about DNA. This is a daily way for us to engage with the Lord and with one another, and it's your building blocks as to who you are in the Lord. So how this all came about, now there's many formulas, DNA formulas, there's like a ton of them in the Christian realm, okay? This one came about because my brother asked me a simple question. He goes, well, how do you approach each day? I mean, how do you approach the day knowing that the news could be like this, or this could happen like this, or, you know, maybe you're dealing with health issues or personal situations or, you know, circumstances and stuff like that. What do you do? How do you approach the whole process? And that's how we came up together with DNA. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. So why is that important? Is because that's the first place you start. We just talked about accessing the Lord 24/7, 365 through the blood of Jesus Christ, the redeeming, living way that he made available for us to spend time with God without having to go through other people, because we go through Jesus Christ as our high priest. Every day dependent on the Lord. That way, no matter what you face in the day, you're not doing it alone, but you're doing it in partnership with God. And for the DNA stands for never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. It's good advice right there. Just never be ashamed of what Jesus said. Even if you don't understand everything and you're growing into it, it's not your job to answer for God on every aspect, but it is your job to grow in him and to know what Jesus had to say and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve, which puts you in a position of being sensitive to God so that you can be led by his spirit, and be sensitive to other people so that you can be a servant ministering in whatever capacity there is. And that process gives you the ability to have the summation for loving your neighbor as you love yourself. And of course, first, loving God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Does that make sense? Okay. Anything else we need to cover? I'm trying to think if we covered a lot, didn't we? Okay. All right, again, the trivia question, what is the shortest psalm? If you think you know the answer, call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. This is not a lengthy thing I want to talk about. This is something that happens to me. Therefore, and yes, you can make the joke about me, I somewhat assume that it happens to other people. In other words, if it happens to me and in the normal course of Christian living, I think it probably happens to other people. That's kind of how I kind of process. So a lot of this, this is why I say I'm a more of a big brother than I am a pastor or some kind of spearhead or whatever. I'd rather just be a family member encouraging one another, and then every once in a while I get to play pranks. I don't know if you ever had it. Did you ever play a prank on you? Have you ever had that happen to you?
You know, I'm the prankster.
You're the one that creates it, right?
I try to, okay. Yes.
So there you go. So that's kind of what this show is. So if you're looking for just the straight continual teaching, it's the wrong show. This is what we are. This is what we do. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. I titled this, uh-oh. Why? Because it's uh-oh for me as well. Concerning Jesus, we have much to say. Concerning him, we have much to say. And it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. Oh. So the author of Hebrews, and nobody is exactly sure who the author is. Some people think it's the Apostle Paul. Some think it's Apollo. Some think it's Barnabas. Some think it's, Silas. I mean, everybody has a different opinion. That's fine. The Lord did not reveal that. It's not something you need to know right now. But when the author wrote, he wrote, concerning him, we have much to say. It's hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. So what is dull of hearing? What is that? I'm going to tell you what that is, and you can tell me whether you understand what's being said here or you can process it or not. Sometimes you can hear so much of so much of so much, you just go, I can't process anymore. So husband and wives, they do it to one another. The husband will complain to the wife. The wife will complain to the husband. And if it's the same complaining about the same thing every single day, there's going to be a dull of hearing. Okay, it's going to be like, yep, heard this story before. Yep. That's not to say that you shouldn't be listening. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just giving the practicalities. Or if you're a parent to your child and you say the same to your child over and over again, it's just like the same thing. Have you ever noticed when the kids get older that when you start to give them the speech, they start to say the speech back to you? It's like, you know, when I was your age, I walked uphill to school 15 miles in 60 degree below zero weather both ways. I mean, that's... And then the kids are like, uh-huh, sure. And then they repeat it back to you, and you're like, okay. So we can create dull of hearing, but here's the process that I want you to be aware of. You hear a lot of truth, biblical truth. You'll listen to radio. You'll listen to sermons. You'll be reading your Bible. You process a lot. And the enemy wants you to get to that point where you feel oversaturated in biblical stuff. So that you got to go, oh, I got to take a break. I got to take a break. It's one thing to be oversaturated by the news or by something that you're following or by your situation or your circumstance or even news about that circumstance. But it's entirely different when we're talking about the Word of God, the truth of God, because the Word of God works in us in powerful ways to help us understand who God is. And when you've reached the point where you don't need to get any closer to God, you're in heaven. That's where you got to go to get that close. Get it? So as dull of hearing as we can be in many areas, and being a guy that's in school in my late 50s, almost 60 here, I can tell you there's dull of reading because I read so many books. It's like, blah. But it can never be for the truth, the actual Word of God, because the truth makes us free, the gospel truth. All right. The answer to the trivia question, by the way, the trivia question was, what is the shortest psalm? And the answer is Psalm 117. Two psalms away from the longest psalm. Aha, aha, aha. Thank you very much. All right, we're going to take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio. Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
The David Spoon Experience.
And that hope that is offered to us is something that's supposed to greatly encourage us. Jesus brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Through the gospel that Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, and 3 days later he rose again. And by faith in the testimony of God, you can live forever. That hope is offered to us. If that hope is offered to you and you have not yet accepted, acknowledged, and surrendered to it, I ask you to do so right this second. I don't even care if you do a fancy prayer. Just say, God, save me in Jesus' name. You will be saved. If you believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross, was buried, 3 days later he rose again, and you surrender your heart to Jesus Christ, turning from where you were and turning to him, you will find life right now. You might be out there thinking, there's no way it can be that easy. Wrong, but you have to receive it. You have to surrender to it. You have to acknowledge God's testimony and say yes to Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what your friends say. Doesn't matter what any other family member says. It only matters for your decision before God in regards to his testimony relating to Jesus Christ and your sins. And that's the hope that is offered to us. And we can be greatly encouraged by that. And that hope is an anchor to our soul. That anchor makes it so that even if the winds are heavy and the waves are intense, we don't get tossed and lost. That there is some stability, that there is some strength. And you can't be like those people that have no hope. They have all there is this life and there's nothing else. That's why they're trying to sin their brains out, because they don't think there's anything else left. But they're going to die and face God. And he's going to ask regarding his account that he's given in relationship to Jesus Christ. And they're going to have to answer. And if they have rejected, then they will be as they have placed themselves as people with no hope. But if you're a person that has not made that decision to say yes to Jesus Christ, make that decision right now. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Okie dokie artichokey, another theological term. Here's our Bible trivia question for this segment. What was the first commandment, or the first command? Let me rephrase that. What was the first command the Bible mentions that was specifically given to Adam and Eve? Okay? So, not what did God say they would be doing. What's the first thing he told them to do? The answer is in Genesis chapter 1. If you think you know, you can call in at, let me get the phone, 972-445-0770, first command. Or you can text in 214-210-8483. Okay? All right. I covered that. I have in my hand jokes. You ready? You think you're ready? All right. Okay. All right. There's some fast ones. So I'm just telling you ahead of time. Okay? Here's a joke for those of you that are not used to jokes on Christian radio. Lighten up. In fact, our whole next segment's about being uppity, so that's perfect. After a very long and boring sermon, the parishioners filed out of the church, saying nothing to the preacher. Towards the end of the line was a thoughtful person who always commented on the sermons. Pastor, today your sermon reminded me of the peace and love of God. The pastor was thrilled. No one has ever said anything like that about my preaching before. Tell me why. Well, the parishioner said, it reminded me of the peace of God because it passed all understanding, and the love of God because it endured forever. That's not bad, right? That's not terrible. I've heard worse, right? Okay. And then this one. Now, this is more cutting. Remember how we said some are cute and some are cutting? This is more cutting. Ah, yes. The self-centered woman knelt in the confessional. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. What is it, child? Father, I have committed the sin of vanity. Twice a day I gaze at myself in the mirror and tell myself I'm the most beautiful woman who ever walked the face of the earth. The priest turned, took a good look at the woman and said, my dear, I have good news for you. That's not a sin. It's only a mistake. What do you think of that? That's good, right? It's not a sin. That's only a mistake. Come on. That's funny. Uh-oh. Oh, I think our station might be down. Uh-oh. Oh, that station is off. That's a bummer. We'll have to find out what's going on. Somebody's calling in, though, for the answer. Are they calling in? We are going to keep the show going because we have to do that. Okay, ready? Here we go. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, Butler.
Hi. How are you?
I'm blessed. How are you?
I'm doing
first
fantastic.
First time calling in.
Huh?
First time never calling in.
I'm so glad you did. I'm so proud of you. That's awesome that you've done that. Now, you got a good trivia question here. This is a good one. Classic,
yes.
Okay? So the first commandment the Bible mentions that God gave to Adam and Eve, the very first thing he told them to do, what was it?
Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth.
Correctamundo!
Ding, 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 ding.
Ding, ding, ding. That's right. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is a lot of people don't want to think about it, but the first thing God said to mankind was procreate. It's like, that'd be a tough sermon for some preachers, I guess. But look, that's what the word says. Why do you, what's wrong with that? Nothing wrong with that.
Exactly. Yes. Yes, sir.
Exactly.
Yes, sir.
Excellent job. Very, very good work. I really appreciate it.
And I appreciate you every day. Thank you so much.
All right. God bless you.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Fantastic. Okay. Now we're going to double check. I think Alton sent me an email saying they're having some internet-y problems. Are you having any internet-y? We should start calling them internet-y instead of internet-y. How about internet-y problems? No? Okay. Double check. See if it's working. If it's not working, we'll just tell Jen it's not working. Okay. All right. So we're going to find out what's going on there. For those of you that can hear it though through the radio, just keep listening because we're going to go right into our teaching. Sometimes it happens. You know, the internet doesn't always work perfectly. Guess what? That doesn't stop the proclamation from going forward. This DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day, is called Too Uppity. Okay. Luke chapter 18, verse 9 through 14. This goes right in sync with the joke. So that's why that was a great call. And he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into a temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift his eyes to heaven, but beating his breast, said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. What a contrast of people that Jesus, listen, Jesus picked this picture. He's telling a parable. Parables are used to communicate truths. Some people think that every nuance of every parable is like, you know, super important. Sometimes that's true, sometimes it's not. When Jesus explains a parable, you better know that everything he explains is the whole of it. But here he uses this contrasting picture. Religious people, holier than thou people, people that lift a spiritual nose upward because they're so special in the community. Versus somebody who knows I'm a mess and I need the help of God. What's amazing is this parable is about believers who come to God in prayer, but one has contempt for the other believer who is not as good as that believer. And so the real story that kind of gets lost in this is Jesus is talking about people that these people believe in God, but they have an uppity attitude about it. And it's really, it breaks down to verses 10 through 13. It's the goody two shoes versus the dredge of God's people. But God looks at things much differently than you and I look at things. And we look at things as, you know, holy and got this and they're looking like this and put a spotlight on them and it's fantastic. God looks deep within a person. He knows what's really going on. And whatever is taking place in the outward can be fascinating, but only what God knows is going on in the inward counts. And so in this situation, you've got one person looking down on another. There might be other Christians that are not as far along as you. There might be other Christians who are stuck in certain places that you have been able to sail through. I'm more than certain that at times in my life, in a 42-plus year walk, I have made mistakes about being judgmental against other believers because they weren't what I thought or what I has estimated or what I evaluated. And the reality check is that a person whose heart is soft before God is known by God. And God loves that person as much as anybody. In fact, what he really doesn't like, if you get into the seriousness of it, he doesn't like the hypocrite who's pretending to be something they're not. Better off you should just be honest. Oh, I'm saved, but I'm saved by grace because I'm a mess. But I'm God's mess. That's a better position than I'm righteous, I'm holy, you should do what I say. I don't think you should do what anybody says. I think you should get as close to God as you can get on this side of heaven. I think that solution is the solution for all of us because it doesn't seem complex that the closer to God you get, the better off you're going to be. But the truth is, we can't have this superior, I know you don't attitude. So, you know, some of this going through some of my education and going through the master's degree and going through the doctorate and some of the PhD study, some of it annoys me.
I know that's terrible to say. I know I shouldn't say that.
I mean, it's great to talk about on the show, but there's times where I finish reading a book and I go, that guy's a moron. I mean, I do. I'm just being honest. I was like, well, what's the matter with that guy? Was he having a bad day when he wrote that? Because I know so much, right? I was praying today. I'll just give you a good example. And I was just like, I just told the Lord, I said, I'm an idiot. I'm his idiot, though. I don't mind because I'm resting in the grace. I'm trusting in his favor. I'm trusting in his mercy. I'm trusting that he knows I'm a little out there, but he loves me nonetheless. I'm just like, I'm hoping in that. I live in that. And so instead of thinking of other Christians in kind of these negative connotations, what we ought to be doing is thinking of everybody from this depth point of view that we just want them to draw closer to the Lord without any judgment, without anything dropping on them. So what if you know people from different denominations? Isn't that the greatest thing of all? After all, you're going to be spending eternity with these people. So what if they don't think exactly like you do? They believe Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, died on the cross for their sins, and every word of the Bible is true. That's a good place to start, isn't it? I think it is. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
The word gospel means good news. Now, that's funny in the sense that when people think of God, they always think of judgment and wrath. But the fact of the matter is God even creating us gives us a sense of understanding that there is a commitment, a love, a connection to us. And that is, get ready, good. That's a good thing. So if you take a look around, right? Just take a little look around. If you watch television, listen to the radio, like us, search the internet, get on Facebook, read magazines. The one thing that you're going to notice that there is very little gospel or good news in the world. You want to know why? One, good news doesn't sell. So let's just be honest, right? If you've been in media for any length of time, you know if it bleeds, it leads. That's the mindset. And it has to do with money. It has to do with power. So that power, that money, that influence, which actually has a demonic origin, but that all is connected towards not good news. Because not good news means that you'll be paying attention because there's so much going on. In fact, there's a fear, a terror, an anxiety, a doubt, even a doom that's within the world. And here's the kicker. If you are personally experiencing these diseases in your life, it's likely that you and I are allowing foul influences of the world to affect us. But Jesus brought a different slant on life. In John 14:27, he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives." Well, why not as the world gives? Because everything the world gives is a lie. Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. When we live our lives more freely from trouble, it means that we're walking more closely with the King of Kings. He wants us to be free from fear and trouble in the worldly sense. So the question is, how is our heart doing? How are we doing on the inside? Are we free or are we in bondages? Because remember, Jesus did come to set the captives free, right? In Psalm 112, verse 7, King David writes, "He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord." We need to be free from troubled and fearful hearts. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We are aware that there are some technical difficulties, but we soldier on. That's what we do. And in lieu of that, we're going to have another trivia question to see if anybody can answer that as well. Here's a pretty straightforward question. The year of Jubilee... The year of Jubilee comes how often for the Israelites? Ooh. So here's the ironic thing. The answer is in Leviticus.
Just because we were just making fun of Leviticus a little bit.
Not making fun, but Leviticus 25. The year of Jubilee comes how often for the Israelites? How often does it come? If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. Either one of those will work. What do we do? Let's do website real fast and then history. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, don't forget to go there to check out. So there's something up there that's in the very beginning about what faith reads like. I think it's really, really good. I happen to know the person who wrote it very, very well since she's my daughter. So I'll give that a little plug. There's nothing for that. We don't get any money from anything. I'm just looking for people to understand that sometimes it's hard. Sometimes being a Christian, it's not easy. There's tough moments. There's tough decisions. There's tough things you hear. I read stuff on a regular basis. I think, Then I just ask the Lord to come back sooner.
That's how I do it.
Okay, let's do history, which is our way of saying we want to enjoy some of the things that have happened in the past. Let's go ahead and play that.
Let's go.
All right, nobody can get upset about this because these are some classics. Ready? National Zucchini Bread Day. Okay, right? I like zucchini bread. You like zucchini bread? That's good. No? No?
That's nasty.
No, you don't like it. Oh, see, I like it. Really? You don't like that at all? All right, well, then I got the next one for you. National English Muffin Day. Like that one?
Man, okay. Nope. Mm-mm.
Okay, fine. National Cherry Cheesecake Day.
Nope, mm-mm.
You don't like cherry cheesecake? What is going on over here? All right, then it's National Talk Like William Shakespeare Day. That thou, there, thou, this, then, there, there, thou, art.
Thou.
Thou, then, there. It's also National Picnic Day. I don't know. It didn't look very sunny when I drove in.
Not in this weather.
Yeah, it doesn't look like that'd be the day unless you're an ant. On this day in 1954, Hank Aaron hits his first major league home run. Yeah, I don't know if you're familiar with Hammer and Hank or not, but he was a legend. And then in 1985, this will take a few people back, New Coke. Coca-Cola announced it changed its 99-year-old formula, introducing what was known as New Coke, less than 3 months later due to public outcry and poor sales. They brought back the old formula under the name Coca-Cola Classic. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Okay, so they have this perfectly fine formula, and they go, let's change it. Okay, this is working. Oh, it's working great. How's it working? Fantastic. I have an idea. What's that? Let's mess it up. Okay.
and call it Coca-Cola.
Yeah. And destroy ourselves for a three-month period so all of our stock, our shareholders, can be really happy with us.
Right.
Yeah, because they lost, like, you know, 30% of their value. Okay, that was just whoever did that. I would be amazed if they ever worked in marketing.
I'm just curious to see, like, what did they change that was different from the original?
Okay, so I can tell you just from personal experience. So that's an excellent question, by the way. See, you're a good questioner. You should be asking questions of people. The original formula is just the way it tastes now. The new formula was sweeter. They had like a higher level of sweetness, which did not help the drink because it made it like too sweet for you to have Coke with all your meals on a regular. It's like, that's too sweet. It's like syrupy.
So it kind of gave it like a dessert feeling.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now, from that, they brought back vanilla Coke, and they have a vanilla orange Coke. They have all these other things. But that's what they were doing, is they're messing with the formula. It's like, if it ain't broke,
don't fix it.
Thank you very much. See? See how we think? All right. All right, we're going to go. We've covered everything else? Okay. Here you go. You guys ought to love this one. Life isn't fair. It's not fair. Life's not fair. Here on Earth, it's not fair. I want to go to an extreme in explaining how life is not fair, okay? I was born third in my family. My brother was born before me. My sister was born before him. That's not fair. She was the number one born. He was the number one guy born. Not fair. John chapter 21, verse 19 through 23 says this. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This is the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" Then Peter saw him. He asked Jesus about him. Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" Take a deep breath. John chapter 21, verse 19 through 23 is talking about a story between two apostles and Jesus. Jesus tells Peter how he's going to die, tells him the kind of death. This is in the Gospel of John. John, who's the other person in this story, the other narrator, the person who's narrating the story, is in the story, and Peter looks at John, and Jesus just told him, "Hey, you're going to die a death that's not going to be all that pleasant." And so Peter goes, "What about him?" Okay, now I want you to just stop and think about this. These are apostles. These are not, they're not people that are just typically, you know, everything is, you know, negative. They're following Jesus. They're with Jesus. Jesus tells them, "This is how you're going to die. I'm telling you what's going on. I've shown you miracles." He's poured his heart into these people. And Peter hears this news. He's going to die a pretty horrendous death. And then he wants to know, well, what about John? Isn't John going to suffer? Isn't he going to have a hard time too? Isn't it going to be bad for him? As it turns out, John is the one who lived longest out of all the apostles, and he's the one that wrote the Gospel of John, plus 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and the book of Revelation, not dying until 95 or 96 AD. He outlived everybody by many, many years, which, so that's an ironic kind of question. But here's the bottom line to the story. Peter felt like he was getting gypped. What about this guy? So Jesus answers the feeling that life is not fair. He doesn't hesitate. If I want him to remain until I return, that's referring to the book of Revelation and where he would manifest himself in a glorified status, what is that to you? You must follow me. Jesus has a very nice way of succinctly nailing down every single thing that seems to be perceived by humanity as unfair. Here's Jesus' response. "I don't care." I don't care that that's what you think it is. This is what it is, and this is how it's going to be. And you think, well, that's just not fair. Well, then you're doing it right there. You see that? You're doing it right there. If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? In other words, what God has intended for somebody else or somebody some other process, what, that's not even your business. Your job, my job, our job is to follow Jesus. That's our job. We're supposed to follow. And I imagine Peter felt gypped. I mean, I can't think of it any other way. What do you mean I'm going to die this really bad way? This doesn't sound fun at all. What about John? He should die that way too. It's been Peter, James, and John. I mean, come on now, right? No, that's not how that goes. And this was, by the way, between two apostles. And so the idea behind this is to understand that's not how it's going to work. We don't get to dictate to God, well, it happened to me, so it has to happen to this person. Or it's not a fairness issue. Life is not fair. It's not, well, that's not fair. Tough. You have two choices. You know God is a God of justice, and he will make everything work out in the end. So you don't have to worry about that part of it. The true, righteous, non-human justice will be determined by God as only God can determine it. And that probably will not be something you and I see until the great judgment takes place where God lays it out. Okay, got it. In the meantime, our job is not to complain about what we don't like, but to follow the Lord. Our job is to follow him and to do the right things in the right ways and to honor him in what we do and how we do it. That's our call. That's our responsibility. And so instead of getting upset or feeling like you're gypped, just think of the Apostle Peter and the Apostle John, how Peter felt like he was getting, I'm getting the raw end of the deal. Guess what? Mary and Martha went through the same thing. Martha thought she was getting ripped off because Mary was just sitting there. Jesus said, too bad. We got to stop playing that victim process because you want somebody else to equally feel your pain. Okay? That's not right. You should be praying nothing but blessings upon blessings upon blessings on every other person. That would be more of a Christ-like spirit, right? All right. The year of Jubilee comes how often for the Israelites? Every 50 years. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10 and 11. There you go. At least I got that right. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's HeMustIncrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Mail it to the station. Just attention, David Spoon. He Must Increase Ministry. I should have been saying that for like the last year.
I forgot.
That's that Steve Martin line when he says, well, you haven't paid taxes in 10 years. He said, this is a joke, dude. He go, well, I forgot.
that's a good one.
I should use that with my wife. You didn't take the garbage out. I forgot.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
Sometimes hallelujah.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, where it's my understanding, and I could be wrong, that the internet site is working. The internet's fine. My app is working. The KAAM app is what's not working. I think that's correct. I'm not sure if that's 100% positive, but yeah, we'll do the best we can, right? You can only do the best you can. Here you go. Here's our trivia question. What will the gates of the holy city be made of? In Revelation chapter 21, it talks about what the gates are made of. It's a very, very special type of, what's the word I'm looking for? Jewelry. It's a very, very special type of jewelry. What will the gates of the holy city be made of? According to Revelation 21, Revelation 21, what will that be? All there for you right there. If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. Okay? What's the jewelry that the gates in the new heavens, new Jerusalem, what are the gates made of? Okay. What else do we need to cover? Oh, we're going to do Greek. We're going to do our Greek word. Get ready for our Greek word of the day. I'll take a slice of baklava. Oh, okay. Here we go. This is in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which is given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. The word eldership in the Greek is presbyterian. Presbyterian. Presbyterian sounds a lot like presbyterian, doesn't it? Presbyterian. That's where they get the word. It's the word presbyterian or presbyterian. That's the word eldership. Presbyterian. It is a body of elders, literally aged men is what it means. Like decomposed, so to speak. Composed of men of dignity, wisdom, and maturity. The word is used both of the Sanhedrin in Luke 22:66 and Acts 25:5 and of Christian presbyteries right here in 1 Timothy 4:14. Presbyterian, and that's eldership. That's the Greek word. That's where the whole word presbyterian comes from. Okay? There you go. It's kind of an interesting, you know, really? That's where it comes from? Yes. Okay. All right. Let's get into our final, what I consider to be the final teaching of the day, and then we'll be praying over everybody for the weekend. If anybody is trying to ever find our app, it's under HeMustIncrease.org, I think is what they have it listed under, or HeMustIncrease. I will send those texts out for people that need to know that later on. Let's look at Psalm 19, verse 7. Psalm 19, verse 7, and this is what it says. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. This verse talks about being restored and being wiser. Those are two really good things. I don't know if you felt this way before or not, but as you go through life, you can sometimes feel a little deflated. You can feel a little bit down, feel a little bit drained. I think when most people come after a five-day work week, you come to Friday, you come towards the end of it, or even a six-day work week, and you come to the end of it, you're just like, shoo, right? You're just like, okay, like you're trying to take a big, deep breath and just kind of like relax and settle in because you need a little bit of restoration. Well, the law of the Lord is able to restore your soul. And sometimes within you, that part of you that needs to be replenished, remember that born-again spirit that's within you? That born-again spirit needs some food. That part of you needs to be encouraged and strengthened. That's what it's talking about when it talks about the law of the Lord is perfect. The word perfect is tamim. I guess we're doing two words tonight because this is a Hebrew word, so there you go. Tamim, and that means complete, whole, entire, or sound. The law of the Lord is complete. The law of the Lord is whole. The law of the Lord is entire. The law of the Lord is sound. And it's his law that restores us when we're dry. And some of you, you got to be careful because you can't use your faith. You can't base your faith just on your feelings, because if you have a fever and you're really sick and you've got the flu, or if you've got something worse, it's like you don't feel the love of God, but that does not negate that the love of God is in truth, in actuality. So you got to be careful. You don't deny your feelings, but you don't lead the train by it. And that's important to understand, that when you're dry, you maintain your faith. When you're kind of deflated, you maintain your position in the truth, and what will restore that inner man of you, that spirit man of yours, is the word, the law. The law of the Lord is perfect. And in this case, the word law means the entirety of God's communication. And the law restores our very inner being. And there's often times where we need to be, we need to be, you know, charged. Do you ever have a phone run out of energy? Guess what you got to do? Get this. You got to plug it in. What happens when your computer's running low? You got to plug it in. What does that do? That gives it the energy, the juice for it to keep running, to keep going. And the law restores our very inner being. And it's not just the law, so I want you to be aware. In this passage, which most people only quote, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul, the other half of the verse is the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So it's the law that we go to first, that's our plumb line, that's our bottom line is the law. But the testimony is also something that gives us wisdom and insight. And what is the testimony? What has God done in your life? What has he done for you? What has he done in your life? What kind of prayers has he answered? What kind of situations has he delivered you out of? What have you seen? What have you read? You know of testimonies of other people. You know of testimonies in the scripture. God gives his testimony of deliverance for the children of Israel by splitting wide the Red Sea and letting them go through on dry land. And that gives you wisdom, and that gives you insight, because you see the working of God in your life and in the life of others. And that's what happens when we engage with the Lord, when we engage in a commitment to reading and disciplining ourselves to be a part of his word and connected to his word, and to make sure that part of our meditation isn't just what the next episode is for The Mandalorian or anything else, but that we're committed to meditating and considering and contemplating and turning over in our minds the great things that God has done in our lives and in the lives of others. We need the testimony and the law, just like Isaiah said. I think it's 8:20, Isaiah 8:20, if it's not 6:20, but it's one of those two. And the idea behind that is to understand that the law of the Lord is able to restore you. And the meditation of your heart should be on the great things God has done. And that will give you a lift, the very lift that you need. Some of you are out there and you're dry.
And you're hurting in your faith. And here's the answer. You want the Lord to put your feet upon a rock and a new song in your mouth? Well, then make sure you're engaged in his word. Make sure you're contemplating the great things God has done for you. You know, every memorial in the Old Testament is about something God has done or something God has declared. Well, there's memorials in your life. Things that God has done, that he's declared, that he's done with you and for you and with you. And those should be a part of that thought process. And then, like we talked about, I think it was in the second segment of the earlier show, we talked about accessing him in his presence and spending time with him. These things sound, I think they sound a certain way because of the way that they've been preached or communicated. So it sounds like the preachers or the pastors are just saying, "Oh, read your Bible and go pray." But that's not what this is supposed to be. And that, even saying it that way, is a disservice. When you read your Bible, you're listening to God. When you pray, you're talking to him. You're sharing your heart. It's not that he doesn't know, but he likes to spend time with you. He enjoys you. He's going to spend eternity with you. So these are why we talk about these disciplines on a regular basis. We talk about what's the point of all this. Hey, the point of all this is that God has committed to you and I an allotment of time on this earth. You're not going to exceed it by 1 second. Nothing you do, no matter what they tell you anywhere at any time, will allow you to exceed the allotment that God has declared. It's never going to happen. But in being a steward of that time, you want to make sure you spend time with the Lord because he wants you to. He wants you to spend some of your time on this earth with him. Well, that's a good way for you to get ready for your big long trip, the really big one, okay? All right. Let me answer the trivia question, then I'm going to close out with prayer. The trivia question, what will the gates of the holy city be made of in Revelation 21? And so I was asking, what kind of jewelry, so to speak? The answer is pearls. The gates will be made of pearls. That ought to be something to see, right? All right. Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now, and we thank you for a great week. For the kindness that you've shown all of us, we're unworthy of it, but we appreciate it deeply and greatly. Help us to carve out of our busy, busy schedules, Lord, specific, separated, quiet time with you, both to engage in your word and to engage in communing with you through prayer, that we might draw closer to you and that you might be the center of everything in our lives. We pray to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. And that righteousness, of course, is through Jesus Christ. We ask for your blessings and your favor in all of it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 72.5-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be false, but it feels the same. So I punish myself.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.